friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Milwaukee Bucks have begun defense of their National Basketball Association title with a big win over the Brooklyn Nets. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
On a night the Bucks received their championship rings and unveiled the title banner in the arena, they went out and dismantled the Nets 127-104. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 32 points, and the Bucks wasted little time taking control of the game.
It's insane. You know, we're part of history. I'm excited, but now it's over with. You know, we got to focus on building good habits, keep moving forward, and keep playing good basketball. And hopefully we can, repeat this again this year, next year, in all the years that we're going to be here down the road.
Shortly after the ceremony, the Bucks went on a 21-4 first quarter run. Coach Mike Budenholzer says the Bucks played through an emotional night.
Very pleased with the, we've been talking about the focus in training camp, the focus in practice. And the guys have been good.
Kevin Durant had 32 for the Nets, who trailed by 7 at halftime, but could get no closer as the Bucks kept on expanding their lead.
Climbing uphill all game, we had good spurts, cut it to 7, cut it to 8 a few times, but we just couldn't get over the hump because they had more possessions than us. They created more offense for themselves with offensive rebounds. They had like 5 of them in one possession.
Chris Middleton and Pat Connaughton each added 20 for the Bucks. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. Meanwhile, star guard Stephen Curry and the 6-time NBA champion Golden State Warriors began their season on a winning note in Los Angeles, California. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles.
Stephen Curry's triple-double powered the Warriors to a 121-114 opening night win over the Lakers. Last season's scoring champion finished with 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists.
It's hard to really kind of measure like what the rest of the season's going to look like based on one game, but we focus on what we're doing. I like where we're at and what we're going to build. And we should be a much better team come February, so we'll see what happens, but it's nice to win the first one.
LeBron James led L.A. with 34 points.
It's one game. We want to learn from it. We want to get better. We don't want to harp on it too much. We will get better from it.
Anthony Davis scored 33. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. In more NBA news, the Philadelphia 76ers have suspended star guard Ben Simmons ahead of their season opening game. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The 76ers have suspended guard Ben Simmons for their season opener after he declined to fully participate in practices returning to the team. Simmons refused to play as a full participant in Tuesday's workout, a day after he lingered outside a team huddle and mostly stayed alone in a corner without talking to teammates. Team captain Joel Embiid says he's tired of babysitting Simmons unless he wants to listen.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That's not my job. That's those guys' jobs. I'm only focused on trying to make the team better.
Simmons has not talked publicly since his offseason trade request. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The Toronto Raptors, NBA champions in 2019, tip off their season later Wednesday night when they host my beloved Washington Wizards in Canada. Toronto's director of global scouting is Patrick Engelbrecht. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Patrick said Nigeria has an abundance of basketball talent.
So for me, I'm originally from South Africa. I've been doing camps across the continent for many years. Always when we come to Nigeria, it's a big, big treat for us because the talent level and the excitement and the hunger for the game, the passion for the game is at a high level here. And we love to get on the ground here. We love to work with the youth here. We feel like the more opportunities that we can give the youth here in Nigeria, the more opportunities we have for kids to go off to college, be very, very successful, maybe one day reach the NBA.
Talking about the Toronto Raptors, do you have a program in place or a process in place where you get talents from Africa and
Have they been playing for you?
The NBA has just started. One of our coaches here, Joe Tuomo, he's a director of player development at the NBA Africa Academy based in Dakar, Senegal. Soon they'll be opening academies across the continent. Hopefully soon one will be here in the country of Nigeria. The population here is such that this country itself needs its own academy.
Wow. Wow. Why do you say so? Why do you say so? Is it because of the talent base or the scouts you've seen or, you know, the players? Why do you say so?
If you count the people who have come from this country and you count the diaspora community, this is maybe the biggest talent reservoir in the world. In the world, for sure on the African continent. So we have to pay attention. We have to put more resources here so kids have the pathway to succeed.
I want to believe that Toronto Raptors have some players of African origin with you.
Yes.
And can you rate them since the
yes.
joined the your team?
So we have, right now in particular, we have two kids that are of Nigerian descent. One is Ogugwa Ananobi, OG Ananobi. He's been with us. We drafted him. He grew up in the U.S., but his family's Nigerian. And then another one is Precious Achua, who's from here, a Port Harcourt boy. He's from here. His older brother went to the States, played at St. John's University, and then brought him there, and he took off and he flourished. He was drafted by the Miami Heat, and this summer we made a trade, and we received Precious Achua in this trade, and we've been very excited to have him. Last night he scored 17 points and had 12 rebounds for us, and this is just the preseason. He's a growing player. He has a bright, bright future ahead of him.
Can you tell, you know, listeners in Africa, the prospects and the chances of the Raptors winning the NBA this season?
Messiah always says, we will win. And I never, ever, ever bet against Messiah. He told us when we got there, he said, we will win in Toronto. We will win in Canada. And we did it. He said, we're going to win again. I believe it. We will win again.
That's Patrick Engelbrecht, the director of global scouting for the NBA's Toronto Raptors team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Patrick Engelbrecht of South Africa, director of global scouting of the Toronto Raptors. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview in Lagos, Nigeria. The Toronto Raptors are clearly watching out for young basketball talent in Africa. Toronto's manager of African scouting is Sarah Chan. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Sarah tells Prince Nesta about her basketball journey, which began in South Sudan.
My name is Sarah Chan. I'm the manager of African scouting for the Toronto Raptors. Played a little bit, coached a little bit, and here I am scouting.
Briefly, just a little bit about your background. Your history is important to our listeners.
So I'm from South Sudan. I grew up in Khartoum until I was about 12, and South Sudan was going through a civil war. It's a 21-year-old civil war that had affected everybody. And so my family and I relocated to Kenya, looking for greener pastures, looking for peace, putting education at the center of everything. I remember that's the one thing I don't even know when I never heard those emphases. Like, my parents always reiterated, we go, we learn, we come back, and we impact. That was the song in our daily lives. And so a background of civil war into being privileged to have an amazing family that's very supportive of a young girl that was trying something out, a dreamer, and a family that is, you know, right behind you, pushing you and encouraging you to, you know, pursue your passion, your goals, and gave you perspective and grounded you in that it's not about you. It's about using your gifts to impact yourself, but to also impact those around you and to bring glory to God.
What inspired you, you know, to start your basketball career?
I started my basketball career in Kenya in high school. I was actually forced into it because I was one of the tallest kids around, and I followed rules. And I said, okay, I don't know where this is going, but you know what? I'm going to stay healthy anyway. And this is how I started off and started falling in love with the game. And my coach was just so amazing, and I had incredible teammates, and so it just made it really fun to do, and it became my heaven, my safe haven. So started in Kenya, ended up getting scholarships out of it, played a pro for a little bit, and came back home, and, you know. So I managed the African scouting for the Toronto Raptors.
What does it entail?
So scouting is basically, we're talent seekers, for lack of a better word, across Africa. And we have an amazing network of scouts from the Raptors. And so it is coordinating all of that and also scouting, like basically looking for, you know, the prospects, the NBA prospects, suggesting. And for me, you know, it's personal because I know what sports have done for me personally. So for me, it's anybody that I feel can have an opportunity at whatever level. And if I have contacts, I always connect, you know. If it's a kid and I'm like, I think this kid is, you know, it might not be going to an NCAA school, but can go to an NAIA or a JUCO. For me, it's beyond the game. It's the using it as a tool to empower the kids. You get an education out of it. The outcome doesn't have to be like Pascal Siakam's, but, you know, you go somewhere and you do something for yourself. So, yeah.
Looks like this is something that is really touching your heart, you know. And what does basketball mean to you?
Man, basketball is life. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes the reason I wake up. It is my purpose. And it reminds me of the saying, the quote by Mandela, sports has the power to change the world. It has the power to inspire. It has the power to unite. And it has the power to create hope.
That's Sarah Chan, the manager of African scouting for the 2019 NBA champion Toronto Raptors team. Sarah spoke with Prince Nesta from Kigali, Rwanda. And that interview was originally broadcast in May during the inaugural Basketball Africa League competition in Kigali. The Voice of America is a proud broadcasting partner of the Basketball Africa League.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends? Breakout artists? New releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. In African athletics, Liberian sprinter Joseph Fambula did not win a medal at this year's Tokyo Olympics, but he definitely made his country sports fans very proud. In the men's 200 meters final in Tokyo, Joseph finished in fifth place, setting a Liberian national record of 19.98 seconds. Joseph's father invited some Liberians to his house to watch the race on television, including Moses Garzio. In this Sunny Side of Sports Olympic highlight for 2021, Moses reports from Monrovia, Liberia.
When the 45 inches television blinked the lineup, the scream from the audience became louder when Joseph Famula was graphic with the Liberian flag at his back.
Come on, Joe!
Yeah! With high hopes, track and field followers were aware of the tax the 19-year-old was up against.
Yes, sir. Yes, a little record holder.
In the lineup were the Canadian Andre DeGrasse and the American and record holder Noah Lyles. Nerves were running high, and you could see it in the eyes of those in the audience. But there were huge courage of a medal coming home for the first time from the Olympics for Liberia. They kept pushing and cheering for a miracle. But it was a dream that needed another try after 4 years. The Canadian Andre DeGrasse took gold with a running time of 19.62 seconds, followed by Americans Kenneth Benrock and Noah Lyles with 19.68 seconds and 19.74 seconds with silver and bronze. Liberian boy Famole finished fifth with a time of 19.98 seconds. At the close of the race, an emotional father, Edwin, had this to say.
He's still a champion to me.
I see it in tears. Why?
It is tears of joy to see your son on the world stage and doing what he's doing. And where he came from is touching. And once again, I would like to say thank you to his mother for bringing him up, raising him when I wasn't there.
Also watching was former Liberian sprinter and Olympian Hassan Kehu. He ran for Liberia at the 1996 Atlanta Games.
For me, I was not expecting a medal. He has met all my expectations. I think he's a winner. Because the fact that you measure arm with DeGrasse, DeGrasse is the fastest man this year. Noah Lyles was the defending champion. To ruffle shoulders with him, you came fifth place, and you still ran 19.98 seconds. I think it's a win for Liberia, and we need to celebrate him and the rest of the field.
Fred Bass-Golacke and Roland Carey were more than delighted and thinks the 19-year-old Famole met the expectations of Liberians.
Look at the race and the mechanics of the race. We believe that this young man is the track star we've been expecting. He didn't even run his personal best today. We expect greatness from this young man.
I think that we wanted a medal for our own selfish reasons. The chips fell where they may. He did his best, and we got to be proud of it. If you look at it, he was the only one from an African nation in the final. It's a bright future for him. He's 19-year-old.
For Zubin Cooper, there are medals lined up that the young family will bring to Liberia in future competitions.
He will bring an Olympic medal to Liberia, and he'll bring many more medals to Liberia. He's 19. This is his first year of college. This is his first international race. I have faith, confidence that this is just the beginning.
Famole qualified for the Tokyo Olympics after meeting the qualifying time in the 200 meters in his first outdoor meet of the season. He later went on to win the NCAA national title in June with a personal best of 19.91 seconds, a career best performance and 10th fastest in his college history. Famole was, however, qualified to compete for a place on the U.S. Olympic team, but rather opted for Liberia, the land of his parents. The decision, according to his father, Edwin, was a sacrifice that grabs more respect.
To leave or to turn down running for the United States and to come and run for his mother and father's birthplace, right there he won more respect from me. I know what it is to sacrifice what you have to return back to Liberia and work to make your country better.
The feat at the Olympic for Famole has been a historic moment for the 2021 NCAA Outdoor National Champion. Famole was among three athletes who represented Liberia at this year's Olympics. Emmanuel Matadi and Ebony Morrison were the other two all-in-track events. For the VOA Sunny Salo Sports, this is Moses Gazo in Monrovia, Liberia.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including reaction from across the political spectrum to former U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell's death. Democrats and Republicans alike lauded the four-star general as a giant of public service and an American hero. Join us for Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to my Facebook page today, Wednesday, you'll see a photo of the brothers Antetokounmpo, Giannis and Thanasis, showing off their NBA championship rings before Tuesday night's victory over the Brooklyn Nets in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For our VOA basketball fans keeping score, Thanasis is 29 years old, 3 years older than Giannis. And while Giannis is the big star on the NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks, Thanasis is a reserve player. Thanasis scored 6 points in 12 minutes on the court Tuesday night, while Giannis tallied 32 points and 14 rebounds in 31 minutes of play. An update now on the Major League Baseball playoffs here in the United States. The Houston Astros and the defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers both posted victories Tuesday. The Astros beat the host Boston Red Sox 9-2 to even the American League Championship Series at 2 games each, and the Dodgers edged the visiting Atlanta Braves 6-5. The Braves now lead the Dodgers 2-1 in the National League Championship Series. The AP's Mark Myers filed this post-game report from Los Angeles.
The Dodgers pulled off a heart-thumping 6-5 comeback win over the Braves in Game 3. Trailing 5-2 in the eighth and down to their final five outs, Cody Bellinger hit a game-tying three-run homer off Luke Jackson.
I saw it, and I just tried to put a good swing on it. Just one of those things, you know, ball's coming in hard. Some shadows you're dealing with, so I saw it well, and I tried to barrel it up.
Three batters later, Mookie Betts lined a double that brought home Chris Taylor with the go-ahead run. Kenley Jansen struck out the side in the ninth inning to lock it down. The Braves still lead the series 2-1. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's go to Boston, where the Houston Astros beat the Boston Red Sox 9-2 in the American League Championship Series. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston.
Jason Castro's tie-breaking single opened the floodgates for the Astros in a 7-run ninth inning on the way to a 9-2 ALCS Game 4 win over the Red Sox. After a solo blast by Jose Altuve in the eighth tied it, Castro's two-out hit off Boston pitcher Nathan Eovaldi gave Houston the lead for good at 3-2.
I just fell on, you know, my spot in the order to come up, so you know, glad I was able to push that across, and then to see what we did after that, that was you know, a nice swing of momentum for us.
Michael Brantley added a bases-clearing double in Houston's win to tie the series at 2 games apiece. Xander Bogaerts had a 2-run shot for the Red Sox postseason record 21st home run in the first. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. In football news, reigning title holder Chelsea will host the Swedish club Malmo later Wednesday evening in a UEFA Champions League group match. Ahead of the match, Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel says he's concerned a heavy workload this season could take a mental and physical toll on his players. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Chelsea are the current holders of the UEFA Champions League title. But this season, they're looking to bounce back from last month's 1-0 defeat against Juventus in their last group game. Following the loss, manager Thomas Tuchel admitted his side looked, quote, slow and tired. And ahead of Wednesday's Champions League match against Malmo, Tuchel attributed his side's recent lack of sharpness to simply too much time on the pitch.
Yeah, I think we lack a little bit of form and we lack a bit of enthusiasm in the last percent, yes. And I think it, one big reason is that we play too much. Not we as a club, but the players play too much. And I'm a big friend of quality and not quantity, so this is what's the situation right now, and it's what we are facing. But this is nothing new, and the next national break is coming, and it's coming soon, and it will not change.
Tuchel pointed out that Belgian striker Romelu Lukaku, who has failed to score in his last six games, has especially felt the effects of an overcrowded schedule. But he admitted he feels torn between letting players like Lukaku rest or keep them in the game.
I think in the very moment, is my opinion, I feel Romelu a bit like overplayed. I think he played too many competitions over the summer with too many competitions with national team. Now he played the Nations League, and you know he is a fantastic athlete and such a competitive guy that he digs in deep and he wants to win these things. He never takes them easy. But it's difficult to judge. Does he really need a break, or is it better to keep him on the pitch? And next national break is coming. But this is what I feel, particularly for him. Some other players too. For me, it's the same. A bit like with Mason and Georgie, they struggle. They have a lot of weight to carry for their countries, and they take it and they love it, and they're competitors. And if you like it or not, if you play 1,000 matches a year, it becomes a bit like, yeah, it can feel heavy.
The risk, of course, is that the heavy workload could take its toll on the players and lead to more injuries. Midfielder Christian Pulisic has yet to play for Chelsea this season after he suffered an ankle injury during the international break. Pulisic will remain on the sidelines for Wednesday's match, and Tuchel says the American is still on the mend.
Right now, we are very, very close. He was already like so close to come to team training last week and had a little setback and a little reaction by pain. Nothing serious, but serious pain. And from there on we go. He is very impatient, of course, and he does everything. And we can see him suffer in every meeting and every time we meet him here in our training center. He's really suffering. He wants to be on the pitch and help us. And everybody's doing its very best. But unfortunately, the injury takes its time.
Chelsea are currently second in Group H in the Champions League. Their Wednesday opponents, Malmo, are at the bottom of that group and have yet to pick up a point. But Tuchel says it would be a mistake for his side to underestimate the Swedish club.
I think in general, they are a team which plays with a lot of confidence in their own style. And they trust in what they are doing. They are maybe not used to this highest level. That's why they maybe struggled a little bit in the beginning of the group phase, because the league in Sweden is not the same level like Champions League. But still, they have a certain style, and they trust their style, and I feel them very confident within that. So we should absolutely not underestimate it, and we should respect them like we respect any team, and turn it around and be on our top level.
Wednesday is the first of two matches between Chelsea and Malmo. The winner will move on to the knockout stage in Group H. Meanwhile, Chelsea are the current leaders in the English Premier League with 19 points, 1 point ahead of second place Liverpool. Chelsea will play their next Premier League match against Norwich City on Saturday. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the October 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.